Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. Greetings in the name of Jesus, who came that we all might have life and life abundantly, who came to save us and deliver us, set us free. Greetings in the name of Master Jesus, who poured out his Spirit on all who believe in him. My name is Andrew, and I'm an apostle, a sent one of Jesus. Rumor has it that there are many Andrews in your Christ-centered family of grace, your church. I grew up in the village of Bethsaida on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. My father, my family, we were all fishermen, and Bethsaida was one of the leading ports of all Galilee. We grew up in a home that believed in Yahweh, and yet none of us, no one in my family, no one in our whole village had ever had the privilege to study under a rabbi. Still, our hunger, our lack of training did not quench our hunger, our thirst for knowing more of God and more of the things of God. I'll always remember hearing the time that we heard about John the Baptizer. You see, John was a prophet of God, and John came calling us to repentance, calling the nation of Israel to turn away from our sin and to turn back to God, our Father. He called us into the water of baptism to be cleansed, and he called us to bear the fruit of our baptism. John was clear that it wasn't, just getting wet that mattered. It was getting different that mattered. John the Baptizer said he came to prepare a way for the Messiah, that he had come to prepare the way for the Son of God to come. I became a follower, a disciple of John. I spent as much time as I could when I wasn't fishing, as much time as I could learning from John and just helping him in ministry. I'll always remember the day that Jesus came. Jesus came to be baptized by John, and John said, You come to me? I'm not even worthy to just touch the straps of your sandals. And John said that when Jesus was baptized, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descend upon Jesus like a dove. The next day, John saw Jesus coming by once again, and he said, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I have come baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then John said, "I have seen and I testify that this man is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John was out preaching, and Philip and I were with him. And then Jesus came by again, and again, John proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And this time, Philip and I walked after Jesus, and we kind of followed him for about a quarter of a mile. And then Jesus stopped. He turned around and he said, What do you want?" We didn't know what to say. We said, "Rabbi, Master, where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Brothers, come and see. Come and see." And so we went and we spent the whole day with Jesus. It was so wonderful. It was simply amazing to be with Jesus, to get to know him, to get to hear him speak of God and speak of the things of God. And he spoke not as someone with secondhand knowledge, but someone with firsthand experience of who God was. You see, when Jesus talked, he didn't just speak about the Father. It's like he spoke of the Father. The very first thing I did the next day was go and find my brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God." And I literally drugged Simon to go see Jesus. And then when Jesus saw Simon, he looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of John, but from now on you will be called Cephas, Petros, the rock." Peter, that's what he was known by from then on. It wasn't too much later that Jesus came to Capernaum, where Simon and I were fishing. It was where we were living at the time. And when he came, he showed up early in the morning. We'd been fishing all night long, hadn't had a lot of success. And Jesus, when he came, because he was healing the sick, and Jesus, when he came, because he was constantly, when he spoke of the kingdom of God, people hung on his every word. And Jesus, when he came, he was always going to where the people needed him the most. And so when Jesus came, there was always a crowd. And so he asked if he could use our boat, if he could preach to the crowds from the boat. And he preached. And he talked about the kingdom of God. And again, they listened to him as one who had authority from on high. And after he had taught that whole day, he told us, he said, fellas, put out into the deep water and let down your net so you can have a great catch. Now, my brother Simon, he answered him. He said, Master, we worked all night long. We didn't catch any fish. And so, but because you say, tell us to do it, we'll do it. Now, that's what Simon said on the outside. I knew what he was thinking on the inside. Simon was thinking to himself, this guy may know a lot about God, but I know a lot about fishing. And there are no fish out in that bay. And by the way, you don't catch fish in the middle of a hot day. But when we took our boats out, and when we put our nets out, our nets began to teem with life, and there were so many fish as we hauled them on the boat, so many fish in the net, literally our boats began to sink. When my brother Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, and he said, oh, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Then Jesus said to us, don't be afraid. Follow me. Come with me. From now on, you're not going to be fishing for fish. You're going to become fishers of people. And that was the day that we left our nets. That was the day we left our boats. We left our families. We left our hometown. That was the day that we left everything to go and follow Jesus. Following Jesus meant that we went where he went, and we did what he did, and we learned what he taught, and we were eyewitnesses to the very presence of God and the work of God coming forth from Jesus. We ate with Jesus. We stayed with Jesus. We served with Jesus. We traveled with Jesus. Being Jesus' disciple meant being with him, learning from him, and truly loving him. I'll always remember the day that we heard that John the Baptizer had been killed. He'd been murdered by the hands of Herod. We were all deeply saddened by that news, and also intensely angered as well. Jesus took us away to the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, to a remote place where we could be all alone and find some time for healing and prayer. And there we were in the middle of nowhere. And yet when the people heard that we were there, they began to come from all around Galilee to hear and to be healed by Jesus, to hear him and be healed by him. The crowd seemed like, they just were coming from north and south and east and west, coming from everywhere. And first it was a few hundred, and then it was 1,000, and then it was 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And it just seemed that the people kept coming all day long. And all day long, Jesus just kept engaging. Jesus kept engaging the people, and he taught them, and they hung on his every word, and he had compassion for them. And he would just spend hours and hours laying his hands of healing upon them. And he would be delivering the demonized, and he would be blessing the children. And he just was there. Fully present, no matter how great our hurt was, he was fully present because he had compassion on the people. And I remember Jesus' teaching that day. Jesus, his teaching was that real righteousness was not what you said on the outside. It's about who you were on the inside. Not just about what you did for everybody to see, but who you really were in your heart. I remember Jesus' teaching about the core values of what it meant to follow him, what it meant to be a person of the kingdom of God. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are those who cry, for they will be comforted. And blessed are those who show mercy, for they will obtain mercy. And blessed are the meek, those who have been tamed and bridled by God, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be made full. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons and the daughters of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I remember Jesus teaching us the great commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, and to love our neighbor even as we love ourselves. And Jesus taught us that God loved all people, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Not just that God so loved the Pharisees or the Sadducees or religious leaders, not just so that God loved, the really smart people or the really rich people. God loved all people, not just even the Jewish people. God so loved the world, even me, even you. I remember Jesus teaching us that the kingdom of God was here and now, of active and moving, increasing and advancing in our very midst 2,000 years ago, in your very midst this very morning. Jesus kept healing and teaching and healing and teaching. And for a long, long time, we were there, it seemed like the whole day. And we disciples began to get a little worried about everyone not having any food to eat. There might be a riot because they really were stuck in the middle of nowhere with nothing to eat. And so we told Jesus, send these folks home so they could go and find something to eat. So we got to shut this ministry time down, send them home. And then Jesus told us, you feed them. Philip did a little mental math in his head, and he said, Lord, this is crazy. Like, even if we had $40,000, we could just barely give every person just a morsel of food. But Jesus told us to feed them. He says, what do you have? And I went out and I found this little boy who was from a nearby village, and he had basically his family's supper with him. And I brought that little boy to Jesus. He had 5 loaves, 2 fish, just enough for his, barely enough for his own family. And that little boy took what he had and he willingly put that into Jesus's hands. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and he took those 5 loaves and 2 fish and he blessed those loaves. He gave thanks for those loaves and that fish. And then he began to give it to us to distribute to all the people who were there. The people sat down in groups of 50 to 100 and Jesus began, to give us food and we would take it to them. We would get the food from Jesus and take the food to the people, get the food from Jesus, take it to the people. I don't know how many times I went back and forth between Jesus and the people, but all I know is that Jesus never ran out of food. And all I know is that people ate until they were all the way full. We just kept receiving and receiving and receiving and giving and giving and giving. It was the most simple yet amazing, the most tiring and yet the most joyful thing I've ever experienced in my whole life. And then when it was over, Jesus, he commanded us, he told us, he said, pick up the leftovers. And there were 12 baskets full of bread and fish that had never even been touched. When my brother in Christ, John the Apostle, when he wrote his gospel, he wrote it so that the world would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When he wrote his gospel, he shared this miracle as being one of the foundational signs that Jesus, of Jesus, so that we could know that Jesus truly was the Son of God. And you know what a sign in his gospel, and the sign in the word of God, a sign is something completely out of the ordinary that points us to the very identity of Jesus. Y'all, that's why I'm here this morning with you. I'm here this morning to point you to Jesus. I'm here this morning to point you, aim you into relationship with him. So this morning, I leave you with 3 important truths. The first truth is that your little in the hands of Jesus becomes his much. Your little in the hands of Jesus becomes his much. You may be thinking like that little boy thought, I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You may be thinking that, there's nothing special about me. I've only got a little bit of faith and a whole lot of questions. I've only got blank amount of time and blank amount of money, and I've got a whole lot more struggle. I just encourage you to do what that little boy did, to put what you have and who you are into the very hands of Jesus. And then watch out, because your life and your world will never be the same again. Your pastor, Andrew, has told me of a gift that he received when he was just a young man, just a teenager. And the gift that Jesus used to change his life and to set the course for all his years to come was two sentences. Two simple sentences said by a West Texas teenage girl with cerebral palsy. And all she said is, "Jesus, I love you. And I'm going to live for you, Jesus, all my life." Her little, when put into the hands of Jesus, became his much. And there were countless, countless students who were transformed by the power of God's Spirit at that long ago church camp. Secondly, I want to encourage you this morning to not waste the gifts that you have been given. Jesus commanded us to pick up the leftovers. I mean, Jesus had access to the endless supply of heavenly manna, but he made sure not to waste a single piece of bread. So this morning, I encourage you to not waste a single resource of your life that you have been given. Those four-wheeled camels that you drive around your city, those houses that are 10 times the size of our first century dwellings, those bank accounts and pension funds that make up your net worth. We didn't even have banks back in the day, but all that stuff that makes up your net worth, the abundance of spiritual gifts that you have been given, the access and freedom in your nation to have the whole Word of God. Don't keep or hoard what you have been given. Don't keep or hoard for yourselves that which is meant not just to be given to you, but to be given through you for others. Invest what you have been given. Give what you have been given so that God can use your little for his much for the transformation of this world. That little boy knew. Jesus knew that every single piece of bread was a gift from above. It was a gift from God. It was a gift from God to be used for God in this world in which we live. Jesus didn't want us then, and Jesus doesn't want you now to waste a single resource that you have been given. Be thankful and then be fruitful with what the Lord has given to you. Finally, this morning, I want you to know that Jesus did not come to simply give us bread. Jesus came to be the bread of life for us. When I take a little bite of my bagel tonight before I go to bed, it will give me temporary satisfaction. It will fill my belly for a few minutes or maybe a few hours. But when we are filled with Jesus, the bread of life, he will quench the thirsting of our soul. We will experience a transformation that is not for a moment or not temporary, a transformation that is for all eternity. So fill our cups, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of our soul. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Fill us up. Fill our cups. Lord, this morning, every single person here, our cups need to be made full, not just to have a taste, not just to have just a little glimpse. We need you to fill us up with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't need a temporary, thing in our lives. We need you. Jesus, help us be done. Help us get finished with this business of trying to fill the void of our soul with the stuff of this world. Help us to be done with the business and over with this temptation to try to fill the void, the God-shaped void of our lives with any person or anything that is not you. Ever since the first time I met Jesus, all I wanted to do is just bring people to Jesus. When I first met Jesus, the first thing I did, the first instinct was for me to take my brother Simon all the way to Jesus. When we were in that remote place on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, the impulse, the thing I felt compelled to do was to bring that little boy to Jesus. I brought Simon to Jesus, and Jesus changed his name and his destiny forever. I brought that little boy with his five loaves and two fish. I brought that little boy to Jesus, and Jesus used that little boy and that little boy's gifts to feed that whole multitude of people. I wonder what Jesus might do if I were able this morning to help bring you to Jesus. I wonder what Jesus might do if your whole church would just truly come all the way to him, not partway, but all the way to him. I fully believe that if you let Jesus change you, he will surely use you to change your world. I know that if I bring you to Jesus, if I bring Jesus to you, I just know that your life and your future and your world will never be the same again. This morning, Lord Jesus, come to every person watching at home or every person here in this sanctuary. Come. And Lord, let them not just seek your gifts, but let them seek you. Lord, not just the bread and the provision that you want to give them, but let them seek the provider. Let them seek a relationship with you that will form and transform them from this moment forth. Lord, we don't just need a piece of bread that'll get us through this day. We need you to come and fill us to get us through eternity. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Come and fill us with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that is risen from the dead. Behold the Lamb of God that now has poured forth his Holy Spirit upon you. Receive Jesus this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.